you guys are excited about life? How many of you guys are learning how to live life? That's even better than that. Amen. Life can be mastered. Life can be mastered so that you can get a bunch of stuff out of it. But you know what? Life's not going to do you any good if you don't put Jesus first. You won't ever get to the point to where you actually be able to live. And the other thing that do you no good is just running to church and listening. None of that stuff will profit you anything. There was a scripture in the Bible that says, listen, and the word did them no good because they didn't mix the word with faith. And, you know, we think about that all the time. We get people that come through. People get in here and they sit. And they hang out just for a bit. You know, then they give up. Instead of going all the way with God, you know, they say, well, I knew this stuff didn't work. I knew they were all lying. No, the word is true. Amen. But it's not going to do anything for you. It has no, you know, the word of God has power in it, but you've got to mix, you got to activate it. So say activate it. I mean, that word can be straight from heaven, but unless that word is activated or empowered, it will do nothing. And it's nothing worse than see people sit up here and get power, you know, and get potential. I believe when we get the word, we get potential. What's potential? Potential means it's potent. It has the ability to do something. Amen? But you've got to mix those words with faith. Believe it and do something with it and do something about it, because it won't turn into anything until you do that. Didn't do him any good because it didn't mix it with faith. And you know what? Faith without works is what? What is faith? Faith without works is what? Completely dead. So if you have to mix the word with faith in order to get the word to do something, right? So then you have to mix faith with works in order to get faith to work. So what do you do with the word? Look at somebody, say, the word that you work, will work. The word that you just sit and look at, it's going to sit back and look at you. But you've got to learn to apply these things to your life. And if you're not working the word, God's not working in your life. You want to find out what God is doing in your life? Absolutely nothing. Because everything God does, he through the, for the believer, and through the believer, he does it by faith. I mean, you want to see God moving in your life more. Well, listen to some word. Start to do what the thing says. Amen. And it'll happen. But if you don't work, nothing's going to happen. What do you mean work? Somebody say, work the word. What did God say today? Well, if you didn't get the word, he didn't say nothing to you. Well, he said, he spoke, but you just didn't listen. How many angels did you commission out today? How many things? I mean, I want to get, so many people say, I've got a time frame. I got a time frame. Everybody knows, you know, we get these little time frames that we get going where we want God to get us. You know, we just count the days. I tell you what, a day that we don't work the word is a wasted day. You're just where you were yesterday. Nothing happened for you spiritually. The angels didn't get any closer to your breakthrough. If you didn't sit up there and get into confession and get into works and get into all that stuff, you're exactly where you were from the last word you spoke. Don't say hallelujah. Now, you might have done some stuff in your own power, but that miracle from God comes as we start to hear supernatural words, we start to hear words revealed to us, and we start to get the scripture on the inside of our life, and we say, hey, I'm going to let this word change me. How many want God to help you? Amen. I don't have too much confidence in people. We move too slow, you know, and we don't have a good track record. People don't have a good track record. You don't know whether they can pull it off or not. But God can pull it off every time. So we've got to learn to hear God and obey. I mean, we can let the power of God start to move. We can have the power of God start to move if we start to condition ourselves around a word. If you're not working a word, you're not really doing anything. So we say amen. I just want to get a couple things across to you. We're trying to get you programmed for what we believe, what we think God, not what we think, what we're believing God to do. And we got to prepare ourselves for that. You know, God wants to work with everybody. And God loves everybody. And God takes different people at different walks in their life. Not everybody's going to start out where you started out or where you think you started out. Amen? And if we're not too careful, we'll turn into Pharisees, Sadducees, and all this other stuff and just get extremely judgmental. You know what? When you spend all your time looking at everybody else and worrying about everybody else, nobody's really minding your stuff. Nobody's really taking care of your house. Nobody's really taking care of you. Amen? You're so busy trying to sanctify everybody else. Nobody, your house will not be prepared. And we get caught up so many times concerned about everybody else, but we're trying to renew everybody else's mind other than our own. How many want to make a difference in the world? Make a pattern, say, hey, if nobody else wants to change, guess what? Here's one. I'm going to change. I'm going to get out of this circumstance. I'm going to get out of this situation. I'm going to change my mentality and allow God to move in my life. There are certain things we got to learn. I believe these are strong. How many of you want to be strong people and help out around church and do stuff? Or we're going to have to teach you something, because you know what? All kind of cats and dogs will come through this place. And if you haven't programmed yourself and learned people, learned ministry, amen, they'll blow you away. And you'll get caught. So I say, let's catch them all. I used to tell Jesse and Crystal, I said, you know what? People are the same. I'm going to say, there's just about a couple of people out there, but everybody, it's just the same people. I only believe it's like 10 people out there. You know, but those 10 people getting a bunch of people, different face, amen, same person, amen. I meet people all the time acting like they're trying to be somebody or do something. I said, no, I knew you 10 years ago. This boy in my school acting just like you, amen. So I say, different face, same person. You know, because certain people are conditioned and trained. Servant's going to be just like his master. Do you know that? Servant's going to be just like his master. Many people are sitting out there, if they're not serving God, they're just working behind some spiritual force. Amen. There are different mentalities. And you know what? People try to be individual, but most of them are just about the same. You can read them like a book. I mean, they are so predictable. Somebody say, different face, same person. Because most of them are of their father, the devil. Amen. That's what Jesus told the Pharisees. You know, he looked at them and said, you are of your father, the devil. Amen. He said, you act just like him. He said, he was a liar from the beginning. You know, and you're lying, so you must be just like him. There are certain characteristics that we need to learn. Because if you're not sharp, you'll get blown away. You know, there'll be some whirlwind little private eyes. You know, we got this thing going around our country right now where everybody's looking for terrorists. Witch hunt, you know? I mean, terrorists. Everybody wants to blow something up, and we're supposed to look out for them. So say, be wise. Well, it's the same thing in the church sometimes. You know, the devil puts people there all the time, and some people are on assignment for the devil. They're secret agents of the devil, and they don't even know it. So say, lookouts. That's their job. Somebody told me they had the ministry of criticism one time. I mean, really believe it. Say, look, I got the ministry of criticism. That's my ministry, ministry of criticism. It's a spirit. It's an ugly spirit. Amen. Different face, same devil. Amen. Yeah, it's like it goes to scripture. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and heavenly places. Amen. Well, so we have to learn. I want you to pick up some stuff. So when you see these people come through, you can read them like a book. I'm going to read you. One of these people that I'm really trying to deal with right now, and I'm studying the Word, and God's helping me out here, amen? Go to Proverbs chapter 17, verse 20. Anybody want to discern an unpure person? Anybody want to find a filthy-minded person? I mean, how many want to know people? I mean, how many would love to have that thing where you could read people's minds and find out where their head's at, amen? Everybody's trying to find out who's the nastiest, who's the dirtiest, who's got the most dirt. You know, the inquirer, we all want to know. So say, inquiring minds want to know. You want to find some filth, and you want to find some scum and some really screwed up people. This is one person that's really screwed up. Says this, he that have a froward heart findeth no good. So say, no good people find no good. Because they're trapped out of it. You get certain people, I mean, they can't go anywhere. They can't get in anything. Everything's always messed up. Every job, you know, God gives it to them when it starts out. It's from heaven. 3 weeks later, you know, hell. You know what I'm saying? Every relationship you get in, you know, it's Prince Charming. Then it's Satan or the Antichrist that you're dating. Everybody met something. I mean, you talk to them for 15 minutes and everything around their world is the devil. And everybody else is wrong, you know. It's just me out there by myself, you know. We got a problem with everybody, or everybody's a problem but us. Say, if your whole life's a problem, you're the problem. If your whole life is a problem, you're the problem. You know, we like to look at, you know, we like to blame people for our misery. We like to blame people for our struggles and our stress. Look at somebody and say, look in the mirror. We need to have Michael Jackson come in here and sing. I'm looking at the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. That's a real smart line. I guess he got it from Jesus. You know, because he said it in a roundabout way. If you want to make the world a better place, you better look at yourself and make a change. Your world is never going to get better until you look at yourself. Somebody say, praise God. Somebody say, that's real easy to work with. Somebody say, we just can't do it. Well, who cares whether it gets done or not? You just deal with yourself. There are certain people that will be screwed up till the day they die. But why should that hold you down? I've got, you know, I used to think my life going to get better when everybody else get their head together. You know what? That's a bondage. I figured out some people die crazy. You know what? I figured out some people, I mean, they never get it right. But that's not going to stop me from who God wants me to be. This whole world can be just as Looney Tunes, just as crazy, you know, but I'm still going to strive to be all that God wants me to be.
Some say hallelujah.
He that have a froward heart findeth no good. You want to find out what heart you have, find out your conversation.
If all you're picking out, if you're looking at a situation, they're looking at a situation, and all you find is the junk, and all you find is the junk in everything, you know what? You're a problem. Because Jesus can see good in everything, amen? That's what faith is all about, looking at something, amen? Jesus looks at things and sees potential. He sees faith. Jesus doesn't look at stuff and say, oh, it's forget it. Amen. The devil can only see what he wants to be. But Jesus sees possibility. He that have a froward heart findeth no good. And if you get people that are knocking everything, somebody say, why? Because that's a froward heart. That's one way you can discern a froward heart, somebody that's missing God. There are characteristics of people. So critical people don't know Jesus. All right. He that hath a froward heart findeth no good, and he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. So they get themselves. Who falls into mischief? Their mouth. You know, they blame everybody else. I wouldn't be falling in all this mess if it wasn't all around me. Amen. Well, you talked it up. You talked it up. Everybody heard people, your mom ever tell you misery loves company? You get real miserable, and all you'll have is miserable people all around you. Amen. I mean, they attract each other, amen? I mean, they attract each other. That becomes a centralized thing, negativeness. You know, we can't dwell around what we believe God's about to do. That's not the center of our fellowship. Center of our fellowship, just how bad everything else is. We all going down on the Titanic together. You met those people, I don't know what we're going to do now. What's wrong now? What's wrong? Somebody say, amen. It doesn't have to be that way. You can be in the worst shape and have the right attitude and get around the right people and see God do something. Amen. Amen. Evidence of the believer. Amen. Amen. Somebody say, what are you talking about, Brother Rod? Somebody say, heart. Say heart. Heart. Say froward. Froward. Froward means distorted. Let's say distorted. Anybody heard of distortion on a guitar? Some people play, jazz players play real clean stuff. It's a real clean sound. But heavy metal player, everything's real distorted. It can be a clean tune, but they're going to distort. So let's say distort everything. Distortion finds sounds that are there and just amplifies the negative stuff. It has to look for it to get it to sound like that. But most people can't hear it. They don't make new stuff up. Amen. They look for the worst things and amplify that to give you a distorted sound. How many things do we have going on in our life that we just decided to have heavy metal with? Amen. How many things that God put in our life that are supposed to be there to give us peace, to give us joy, and we turn it into a heavy metal tune? Stuff you could have just walked through. Doesn't mean all that. Doesn't have to be so crazy. Doesn't have to be so worked up. Doesn't have to be so messed up. Somebody say, you chose to distort it. That word froward means distorted, crooked, or perverse. You know, and I'm getting around one type of people. I'm trying to teach. If you could add another message to go along with this one, somebody say, you know, the plank in your own eye, you know. You want to pull a speck out of one person's eye, and you got a big plank in your own eye. And that person that wants to be so judgmental and looking at everybody else, they think they're so together. And we'll try to find somebody struggling in the area that's going through and say, hey, I'm better than this person over here. I don't have this going on. You know, I'm okay. But you know what I find out as I study this scripture? The same curses that are on some of those people that we look down on are also on that mentality of mine. So we say perverse. Heart. This heart means awareness or understanding. Their awareness or their understanding. In Titus chapter 1, why don't you go there? Titus chapter 1, verse 14. There are so many biblical truths that if we just do it, we'd be all right. Don't waste your life trying to find out why stuff works. When you get medicine from, I got some eye drops from the doctor one time for my messed up eyes. I didn't have to know what drugs was in the bottle. I didn't have to know how they worked and when and what made the thing work. I knew that when I put it in my eyes, I would feel a little bit better. How many of you go in the hospital and they give you IV and you know exactly what they're putting in your arm and exactly what it's going to do to each one of your organs to give you to make you feel better? You don't have to know that, do you? Well, you know it's the same way with the Word of God. It's the same way with biblical truths. If we just take our medicine, somebody say, take the medicine. You don't have to go to, wouldn't it be a trip if we all decided to go to pharmacy school before we decided to take medicine? Wouldn't we be sick? Hold on, before I take this nitroglycerin pill and put it up under my tongue, I'm going to go away to school and find out what's happening. You'll die. Well, there are a lot of people with scriptural principles and biblical things the same way. They die spiritually. They allow ministries to die. They allow families to die. They allow jobs to die. They allow opportunities to die. Why? Because they won't take their medicine. Because they got to figure out what it all is. Sometimes you just got to do it. Let me say hallelujah. Amen. There are a lot of stuff about God that I don't understand. A lot of things that we're called to walk in that we can't figure it out. We just have to take it at faith. He knows something we don't know, so we're just going to roll that way. Whether it makes sense or not, we're just going to roll that way and it'll put itself together later on. Amen? Before I was ever created, he already thought it out. Amen? And you can't outthink God. God doesn't have to make you understand it. We got to learn to have peace that passes all understanding. But there are a lot of people's lives that never super exceed their understanding. But God's ways are beyond your ways and beyond your mindset. Let obedience go beyond your understanding. Titus chapter 1, verse 14 through 16. I'm really eager to get a hold of a group of people that will start to hear scriptural principles and just put them into practice. I don't want to play church with people. How many of y'all want to go with me in that degree? Are we learning anything tonight? Learning who to run from, amen? Wouldn't you love to be one of those people that could walk in a mess and find good? Can walk into any situation and find the good because the good is where God's going to start with. And if we'd learn to verbalize that, if we'd learn to see the possibility, we'd learn to see hope, we'd learn to see faith in every situation, boy, we can go to the next level. But if we get around fraud, crooked people, they'll distort your stuff too. And you'll pick up that same taste. Kids don't wake up growing. Babies just aren't born liking heavy metal. We just don't like distorted sounds. We like nice stuff. But you get around other people that like it. And you acquire a taste for it. Distortion and frowardness and these things, these are acquired tastes. Amen?
Titus chapter 1, verse 14. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and the commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are, somebody say defiled. Say it one more time, defiled. Unto the defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. Where do we, you know, if nothing's pure in your life, you know, you can't find purity anywhere, you're going to be in trouble and miserable. Don't let the devil put you there. I mean, you can be turned off on anything. You can turn any good thing around. I mean, you can turn anything good thing around and turn it into a nightmare. But as Christians, you know what? We should have the ability to take a mess and say, hey, I'm going to make the most out of this. Hey, I missed the bus, but I'm going to wait for the next one with the right attitude, with the right spirit. You know what? I'm going to make this thing pure. I'm not going to let the devil get to me. You know, not everything is, turns out to be what we plan with roses everywhere. And it smells. You know, we get these plans, and when one thing goes wrong, we throw the whole thing away. Christians, we should be able to float a little bit and you know, be a little bit light. Some say lighten up. Pure people can do that. Listen, unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. So people that can't see purity, amen? When you can't see the good, amen, that's your conscience is defiled, because all good things come from God. And that's what God's put in everybody's heart, a certain measure of faith. And when you get the Holy Ghost, you'll be like Jesus. Jesus saw that woman at the well. Everybody else would see all the junk and all the dirt and all the mess. You ever heard that song, He looked beyond all my faults and saw my need? That pure man looked beyond all that mess and found some purity. There's something good about everybody, amen? There's no good, no, not on the earth, none, not on the earth. We understand that. But God puts something in every individual that is worthy of love, respect, and dignity. And when you find it and sow into it, that person will grow. Somebody, that's how Jesus could walk in love. Somebody say hallelujah. He knew that he made us. He knew that he created us. Somebody say unto the pure, all things. Unto the pure, all things are pure. We can go for it. Now, was Jesus, that's how Jesus, then we talk about Sunday, how he went into places. And other people said, how could you eat with those people? How could you hang with them? See, unto the pure. And I'm not saying Jesus was calling those people pure, amen? But Jesus saw potential, amen? Even in the worst places. I'd like to get around some people that other people would say ain't worth a dime. We've got to have this kind of faith. We've got to have this kind of love. We've got to have this. If you look through the eyes of Jesus, you can get over it. Somebody say hallelujah. He does that in us. He does that in us. He converts us. He heals us. And that's one of the things, that's one of the ways that devil steals good things from us. We can take back bad days. We can take back bad days from the devil by refusing to think about the bad, by refusing to think about the negative, by refusing to think about everything that's not there. We can look at the, we've been like this for 5 years. We can say, oh, we just think of only empty chairs. Only empty chairs. Everybody keeps going. Well, I'm more about the ones that keep staying. Some say pure.
Pure.
I'm not looking for what the devil did. I'm looking for what God's doing. Amen?
Amen.
This is my life. He's not going to steal my days. My life doesn't start when everything looks like it's together. I can find God tonight. Today is that day of salvation. This is the best place, the safest place in the whole wide world is in the will of God. And when you're in the will of God, you're able to see God's sovereignty, his purity, and his provision. And you're able to bloom where you are on the way to where you're going. You ever heard about that? See, but unpure people can't do that. They can't just hang. Something's always wrong. You know why? Because when you're wrong, everything's wrong. When you're wrong, everything's wrong, and all you're concerned about. I've been hearing this thing, you know what? This is really funny, but I believe it's the Holy Spirit on the inside of my heart. You ever heard this little slogan? When we were kids, we used to say this to each other. I used to call your name. You say, "It takes one to know one." Amen. You ever heard everybody say, "It takes one to know one"? Look at somebody and tell them with a little bit of snapping. Say, "It takes one to know one." Tell them! Come on now. Say, "It takes one to know one." Well, you know that's the truth. You know that's the truth. When they tell people, when they get counterfeit money out there and they're training people to look at fake money and real money, they don't pull up all the fake money and say, "Study all this fake money, you'll be able to find a real dollar bill." They only learn from dollar bills, because it takes one to know one. And if you got one person out there, all they know is liars, amen. Somebody say, "Praise God." And all they know is freaks, you know, and somebody say, "It takes one to know one." It's the truth. Hallelujah. People saved by grace. People that need Jesus. All I know, everybody's got stuff. But thank God we got Jesus. And we got Jesus. We'll get closer to Him one step at a time. Amen. We're all sinners saved by grace. Amen. And as soon as you get to the point to where you think you've arrived, boy, you're on your way to hell. As soon as you think you got to the point to where you're even running better than somebody else, you are done for. We all just get religious. We all just get caught up. Unto the pure, all things are pure. And unto the impure, everything's impure. Everything's defiled. They profess, listen, "And unto the unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled." So there are a lot of people, I know people that just, they make up stuff. They don't have to know nothing. I mean, they will conceive it in their head. And that's what their whole thing is. And sometimes they call it discernment. They see somebody move, you know. Different people come from different hang-ups and different things. And people are coming at different places and different things in their life, and they're not going to be together overnight, and I don't want nobody faking for you. So say, "What you looking for?" We're ready to open this thing wide open to whosoever will, let them come, let them come. Whosoever will, let them come, let them come. But there are a lot of people that need Jesus, but they don't know where to start, and we don't give them a starting place. We didn't even let them start. You know, that's not how Jesus did stuff. He went and met the woman at the well. He met people at different places. Amen. Hope this ain't all we going to heaven with. Good Lord, we're in trouble. You know, we think, well, this bunch that we call Christians today, that's all God can do? No. He can do much better than this, and He will if we let Him. And we just open up His love, and we just open up His heart and pour it out. Amen. There's one thing I want you to perceive, church, is let's not get thrown off. There are degrees of relationship. There are degrees of relationship. We need to have multitude relationship, which we don't have. We're too judgmental to have a multitude relationship. But I want to do that. I want to open it wide up and say, whoever will come, let them come. Amen. Let them act right. You know, when I'm getting in here acting crazy, you don't have to be completely set free to come to church. It's where you come to get free. Amen. Amen. But you're not going to come here and get us to go back. Amen. But I want them all in here. Amen. And just because they're in here doesn't mean you have to fellowship with everybody. The Bible says don't have any fellowship with darkness. And there are certain people that are in darkness. You don't need to be rolling with them. Amen. They're in here trying to find the light. After they find the light, you can take them to the next level. Amen. There need to be people that come in here to come to church. You need to give them a love and give them some love and give them a hug. Don't give them your number. Don't put them in your car. Amen. Love them. And then as soon as they get there, take them to the next level. I'm teaching here. Amen. I'm letting you know so you don't get wigged out later on. Amen. They need to come to Jesus. Amen. And as they progress in their faith and as they progress in their understanding, then you're able to walk with them and have fellowship with them. Even Jesus did that. Jesus ministered to the multitude, but it was disciple time. He took those disciples and said, "Come and follow me." Amen. You can come to Jesus, but not everybody's going to be able to follow you around. Just because they come to church doesn't mean they need to be in your house. Doesn't mean they have to be your best friend. Somebody say hallelujah. It means you have to love them. You have to love everybody and not talk about anybody, because they all belong to Jesus. But you got to find out what you want to have walking with you. I don't want just everybody walking with me.
Amen. I want anything in here that could come in here to hear the word of God, because that's going to make the difference. That's how God's going to find his people. But I just don't want perfect people walking with me. I want faith people walking with me. People that are walking in that same revelation. Amen. Don't have the hang-ups. So I'm just giving you this message right now because there's some folk I think got some problems that need to come to church. And this is what this church belongs to them. And I'm going to tell you just what we told some other people. Amen. Rex, you were in here. Amen. We had some people come in here before. People tried to look at them with judgmental eyes and said, I'll tell you what, you don't like it, you can go. Amen. This is God's house. And they need to come. They need to come to Jesus. And if we don't open our hearts and open our arms, they'll never get there. And there might be, oh, glory to God, there might be somebody out there that only a house like this will get them saved and get them right. Now, to the other ones, they're going to look at those people and say, hey, they got this hang up, they got that hang up, and it's going to bust me open. It's going to wear me out. You know, we can't get to Jesus because we're so worried about what somebody else has got going on. Jesus told that woman the truth, didn't he? He said, listen, I know you got this going on in your life. He said, the husband you're living with right now is not your own. The man you got right now is not your own husband. Did it wake him out? He loved that woman, and his love converted her life. Amen? They profess that they know God, but in their works they deny him. Some say these are people. Some say fables. And if you get into this, just talk about running mouth. So say running your mouth. Everybody say running your mouth. Being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work. Some say unto every good work. Say unto every good work. Say unto every good work. Say it one more time. Unto every good work, reprobate. Some say reprobate. Well, how many of you know that God wants to do a good work in people's lives? And God might want to start with somebody in the gutter and love somebody. Amen? That's a good work. Someone might have some hang-ups. You know, there are people I'd love to minister to, but I'm afraid what people would say. Well, that's wrong. People that have impure minds are so reprobate. They are reprobate unto every good work. There are a lot of good works that need to take place. But we're afraid of our reputation. Afraid of what somebody else would think. Afraid of what somebody else would say. Amen. Some say reprobate to every good work. In the Nation's Church, we do some wild stuff. And there's some people that hate us because we do wild stuff. Now, we're not going to get out there unscripture, but we just do wild stuff. And we read in the Word and we find that liberty. Hey, we're going to walk in it with boldness. And there are some people that hate. Somebody say hate. They are reprobates to good works. I mean, you know a good work. What's a good work? Somebody say, why do we got to do this? Why do we got to do that? It's not the way it is, blah, blah. Somebody say reprobate to every good work. And see, reprobates, you know what God does with people? The worst thing to ever get is reprobate. You know, in the book of Romans, you know, people that get off this mindset in their own mind, that's why some of these sexual sins are so dangerous. Because you continue in stuff, you'll become reprobate. Amen. But another way that you can come reprobate is right here. You ever heard people say, oh, reprobates? Well, some reprobates are in church. They're not out there in the world doing stupid stuff, but they're in church. Amen. Reprobate to every good work. And what happens to reprobates? God turns them over to their own way. When they could be turned on to the work of God. How many of you would rather be turned on to the work of God other than your own way? So say reprobate. Reprobate means worthless, cast away, and rejected. People that have this mindset, they're always seeing the negative, always seeing the worst. That's not Jesus. That's not God. When you get that mentality, you will become reprobate to every good work. That means that you'll be worthless to the work that God wants to accomplish in this church or in your life or anywhere. Say your attitude determines your altitude. I'm teaching really good tonight. Amen. So you got to have the vision of God. You got to have the word of God on the inside of you so you know where we're going and what we're doing and what everything's all about. Because you might have a freak sitting beside you in a couple weeks. And you don't need to be looking at the freak stuff because what you look at is what you'll become. But they need to be looking at you. Amen. You need to be greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. But they have to have someone model that stuff in front of them. So I'm going to say amen so they can get to where God wants them to be. I know who God's called me to be. And I know who he's called to get. Amen.
and I'm going to get them all. I'm going to take my load. I'm going to take my load. Each and every one of us have people assigned that we're called to reach, and God don't want to leave anybody out there. We have a capital campaign going on here. And in our capital campaign, I hope I'm teaching well tonight. We have a capital campaign. We got a coupon book. And in this coupon book, we got all these different businesses that can get in the book. Brother Rex is a great salesman. He does not like foo-foo stores. If they sell purses or anything that has to do with, you know, anything foo-foo, like, he ain't going to sell it. But if it has to do with trucks, cars, or anything like that, it's sold. It got to the point to where we had to say, I don't want to see another car thing in this book. So say, we have enough. It's the same way in the body of Christ today. We start to choose for God who should be saved. They need to be like, you know, this is where they at. Amen. Well, we need to go out and get some tricycles. Amen. The Lord multiplying such as should be saved. We're not allowed. Somebody say, go get the man what he wants. This is highways and byways times. Go in and call anybody. Bring them all in. He said, go to the highways and the byways and tell us, because the ones that were supposed to come wouldn't come. So he said, go out there and get whatever you can get. And don't worry about what they got on. God will deal with that. You know, one person said to me, he didn't have on wedding garments, and God dealt with those wedding garments. Somebody say, God inspects his own house. Hallelujah. And when he starts a clean house, there are a whole lot of people walking. Amen. Somebody say, praise God. You ever seen Martin? Every once in a while, Martin say, step. So to have this mentality, somebody say, I'm not going to be reprobate to a good work. Say it. I'm not going to be reprobate to a good work. God's got a good work out there. There's an anointing here. Amen. To do something different. That we've got to believe God for. We got to believe that the God in us is greater. Amen. Than anything the devil's got out there. Amen. And we need to go and bring in the harvest. And trust your love to change it. But if we're so busy judging, somebody say we shouldn't be judging. We should be loving. Because judgment ain't going to do nothing for anybody today. Judgment's coming on the last day. But your love can make a difference. Prejudgment, some say prejudgment, is stupid. Why? Because it shuts down. Amen. Everybody's going to be judged. Everybody, we're all going to stand before God and give an account for what we did with our lives and how we lived. And God knows it all. He's going to judge every thought we've had. Wow. Thank God he's going to see Jesus. Y'all, I'm getting straight A's when I go to heaven because of what Jesus did. I'm going to stand up there in Jesus' name. Amen? I'm standing up there in Jesus' name. I'm going to go there boldly to the throne of grace. But you know what we will be judged for? How much of Jesus did we allow to operate and flow through us? You're not going to be judged for what you did. Amen? But you will be judged for what you didn't allow Jesus to do through you. So if God wants to love some people through you, do it. Let it all hang out. Amen. Hallelujah. Start praying the Holy Ghost just for a couple of seconds. Unto the pure, all things are pure. I'm trying to get the strong ones tonight. Wednesday night is for strong believers. We're going to get to the point to where we can go in the midst of hell. Amen. And pull out what God wants us to pull out. And we touch any deadly thing, it will not harm us, but we don't want to do it stupid. I've been around quote unquote Christians. You know what I figured out? Ain't no difference most of the time. I've been around people that sang all the songs, listened to all the right radio stations, tried to say they knew Jesus. They didn't know Jesus. They don't even know it. There are a lot of people that are claiming to know God. They don't know God. They don't know Jesus. Certain things are evident when people know Jesus. You have no idea how many people are out there claiming to know God. The Bible says if you don't have love in your heart, he said, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. And there are a lot of people up there that got philosophy and religion in their head. Remembering a little Christian song on the radio which some preacher told you 10 years ago is not salvation. Jesus and love in your heart is the only evidence of true salvation. Amen? Amen. When Jesus is on the inside of us, we start to walk like Jesus. Amen? We start to walk like Jesus. We start to live like Jesus. And Jesus, you know, the walk of Christ was not, it was easy for, Jesus wasn't so caught up in his holiness because he was holy. That wasn't a big thing to him. That was just natural. Amen? But the walk of Jesus is how he treated others, how he loved others, and how he flowed with others. Now we're going to go, I want you to walk in that same light. I'm tired of playing certain games. Not say I was ever playing a game. Everything I did with sincerity, and I did it with purity and purity of mind. But you know what? There are a whole lot of stuff. I'm cutting off the fat. I'm cutting off. I ain't playing no games with anybody else. And if it's not Christ in my heart and the anointing's not on it, amen. There's so much. And someone said, this is a non-traditional church. You have no idea how much tradition we have and how much bondage we have. Even in a church like this, it's going. I mean, it's really going because it ain't doing me no good. It's not doing you any good. And if it was necessary, God wouldn't have called you here. He would say, well, just go to the church they're trying to be like. God's not trying to duplicate anything. Amen? He's trying to do a new thing. And we have to be responsible to that call and go for it. What do we got to lose? I'm going to say, absolutely. Nothing. I'm going to love as many as I can love. Amen? And I bet you my Christian walk won't deteriorate any more than anybody else's either. And guess what? You're going to do the same thing.
Let's get ready for evangelism. Real evangelism. Don't give them no junk.
Jesus didn't call us to make them Baptists. He didn't call us to make them charismatic. He didn't call us to make them religious either. He called us to give them Jesus and give them the Holy Ghost. And what happens after that is between them and God. Amen? And if he's on the inside of you, it'll happen. Stand up right where you are.